Hey, you guys. Movie retrospective time. So today, the movie that won pretty overwhelmingly in the poll was the 1994 adaptation of Frankenstein, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, to be precise. So I don't know if people voted, because I do put like what year it is, especially if it's something like Frankenstein that's had like a million adaptations. So I don't know if you guys knew that this was the one that we were going to be talking about, or if you were hoping that we were going to talk about the Boris Karloff one. I don't really know. But this one won. I saw it come up on HBO Max, and I was like, oh, I haven't seen that since it came out. Like, I saw it in the theater. And I remembered it being okay, but I didn't really remember all that much about it. So I was kind of like interested to revisit it. And had you seen it or no?
Yeah, I had seen it, but I guess I didn't like it, and there was a lot of the stuff that I didn't remember. So probably what it was is that 94, I was in the Army, and they were probably playing it, and I caught a bit of it, you know, on VHS, and I was like, nah, you know, I didn't like it, you know what I mean? I stopped watching it. But seeing it again last night, it was good. It was real good. I liked it.
Now, the thing about it, though, it's like way, way, way more over the top than I remembered, as far as very, very stagey acting and like really just kind of like some of it even like veers over into camp. But that's kind of okay, because I kind of feel like that's what makes it entertaining.
It's supposed to be almost like a period piece.
I guess. And it's almost like operatic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of. I know what I think it was trying to do. It was trying to be kind of like, remember the Dracula that had come out? What was that, 93?
92.
92. It was trying to be like that, where it was supposed to feel, I think, a little bit like an old movie. But it was all brand new with color and everything, you know. But the acting was kind of like old movie from the 30s.
Yeah, so that's kind of like the spirit in which I took it, because I know, like, I've watched other people, because this very famously, like, when it came out, like, it made its money back, but it got, like, a lot of criticism, even back in the 90s, for being just, like, way over the top, and for being, because Kenneth Branagh, who plays Victor Frankenstein, and he directed it as well, you can tell that he's, like, a complete raging egomaniac on this, because he's pretty much, like, every single scene of creation, I want to be, like, shirtless and, like, showing my pecs and, like, covered with liquid and stuff like that. He's just, like, swishing around all over the place.
Was that the
like,
director, though?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah.
It's the director, and that he was main actor in it, too.
Yeah, okay.
Well, because the thing about Kenneth Branagh is that, and the reason that he ended up directing this, because I don't know if you knew, but this was the same production company. It's Francis Ford Coppola's production company. Because they had done Dracula, and because it had been so successful, they're like, okay, well, next we're going to do a Frankenstein. They were going to do all of them.
Yeah, so that fits, then it's what I thought it was.
Yeah, they were going to do all of them. I think the reason that Dracula probably worked better, other than, you know, Keanu and Winona being kind of like miscast a little bit, was because the Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula was very stylized in the way that it looked, like, visually. So you could tell that it wasn't necessarily trying to be, like, realistic or anything.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like this one, maybe it was...
It was supposed to be like that.
I think it was, but
it didn't quite come off that way.
Yeah, I think if it had been more stylized, it probably would have come across better.
Yeah, probably, right, yeah.
And also, I will say that I think, and I do like this movie, I do, but I can understand, like, criticisms of it where they just say that it was just, like, wildly over the top, like, he could have, like, reined it in some, and I do agree with that. I think another thing that kind of, like, let it down a little bit is that Robert De Niro, as the creature in this, he's never given a name, like, as the monster, he's so good and so subtle that everyone else, like, shrieking and, like, sweeping around and all these, like, crazy camera movements and stuff, like, the juxtaposition is a little bit, gives you a little bit of whiplash, too.
Well, I think they're trying to give him some bunch of gravitas, like, he's the only sane motherfucker in the movie.
Yeah, everyone else is just, like, a screaming loon.
Yeah, and he is. He's kind of the best character. Moral.
He's the best part of it.
In a weird way. Although he did kill the kid, and he did fucking frame the other woman. I mean, he did do some evil things, but he was kind of rationalizing it. Like, you know, well, I'm not a human being. You made me.
Daddy doesn't love me.
And you threw me away, and now this and that. And then the people are all trying to kill me, and, you know, you do what I say, or something bad's going. You need to pay for your sin against God for making me, you know. And when the creature gets into it, when he starts talking, or the movie really picks up. If you ask me, it's good when he starts playing his role in it. I think it should have happened earlier, but they're trying to make it like the book. And it's supposed, based on what you said, that this is supposed to be one of the more faithful adaptations of the book.
It is. They did change some things, which maybe we'll get into that a little bit. But overall, because, you know, honestly, like most people know, like the Boris Karloff Frankenstein and stuff like that was not, it, you know, obviously it was kind of loosely based on the novel, but a lot of the adaptations like leave things out. Like, yeah. I'm not sure because I think there is a movie called Frankenstein Unbound. Which I think was maybe the same universe as Dracula Untold, which I actually really liked. I haven't heard much good about Frankenstein Unbound, but I haven't seen it, so I can't really say. I think that one is a little bit faithful to the book, too, but so maybe that has it, too. But this is the only Frankenstein adaptation that I've seen, and I'm sure there's other ones, and people will tell me what they are, that actually has the framing device of the Arctic expedition. Yeah. Because if you guys haven't read the novel, I mean, it's been a very long time since I've read it. I read it in school. And I think I read it one time in my 20s. But the whole thing, the whole novel is actually told as a flashback, is told as like a story, like this ship, this guy is like trying to find, what's he trying to find? Like a, not the Northwest Passage, but just like something through the Arctic Circle or whatever. Like he's up there on the Terror expedition or whatever, and they find the monster. Well, then they find Dr. Frankenstein like chasing the monster, and Dr. Frankenstein, like while he's dying, tells them this whole story. You know what I mean? And then the captain is writing all of the whole story, which is a novel length, in case you didn't know, like to his sister. So.
More
so
found that's footage type.
Yeah, it's like a found footage, which, like I said, very, very popular, like that epistolary then. Style. Well, Dracula is completely like letters and journal entries and and
which
diaries.
Tell you, man,
and stuff.
As when I was a kid, when I was real voracious reader, you know, when I was younger, that shit was so tedious. I didn't like that kind of stuff, with the exception of fucking Lovecraft. I liked Lovecraft, but he was a more updated version of that. This shit was usually tedious to read.
If it's done well, I like it, but a lot of times it's not done well.
Yeah, a lot of times it's a whole lot of nothing. Nothing really happens in the book. It's just, you know what I mean? I haven't read this one, but usually in this style, like the Dracula book, when you read it, nothing really happens.
Well, because nothing's just in regular. Yeah, like everything is like, oh, and then this shit
happened. You're reading reports about something that
happened.
You're right.
Yeah. And I know why they did that, because like I said, that was a very popular like literary trope back then, because it gave the story like, oh my God, the shit really happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It gave it to, it's like newspaper articles. So like you said, it's like the same as the appeal of found footage.
Yeah.
It was just written. So I get why they did that. But the thing about...
And Dracula, excuse me, and the creature reads a book like that also in the book. So there's a book in the book. The creature is reading Frankenstein's what's this, journal. And that's how he finds out who he is and how he came about. So it's kind of funny. They got found footage in the found footage movie.
So meta.
Yeah, it's meta.
And I don't think, like I said, it's been probably 20 years since I've read the book. I've remembered, like, some things in here being different. This is pretty accurate, but they did change up some things, like, especially toward the end, like, having to do with, like, the creation of the bride and stuff. But I don't remember, because it's kind of a minor detail, but I don't remember in the book if that's how the monster found Dr. Frankenstein again, like, through his journal. Maybe it was, but I can't really, I don't remember. I don't actually remember how he ended up finding him again, but it's like I said, that's kind of like a small detail, which is probably why I don't remember it. But yeah, so I had seen this in the theater and remember, like, I was like, that was okay or whatever. I said, oh, it's like really close to the book, which I thought was kind of cool because we hadn't really seen that like in 1994. I was like, wow, they even had like the Arctic expedition and they did a lot of the monster like being able to talk and like learning how to read and like being more of like philosophical. And but yeah, I agree that like when De Niro shows up, like the movie like is elevated several things, because prior to that, like, as he's kind of like a calming influence, because this is a very, I'm not gonna go like say this is like a full-on like Baz Luhrmann kind of like phantasmagoria freak show or anything where everybody's like running around and singing and waving their arms and everything, but it's kind of in that direction, you know what I'm saying?
Well, fucking Mary Shelley, you would think, you know, when you see the Helen Bonham Carter fucking character in there, you think that that's probably how fucking Shelley was. you know, and the way she probably wrote her characters, you know, kind of slightly over the top and hysterical. But people were like that back then.
Yeah, they were just like, well,
wasn't
even
much to do, so you had to, you know.
Even Dr. Frankenstein, I think in the original book, it's like every time he saw like the horror of what he had done, he'd like pass out. He passed out. Constantly fucking all the time. They were wilting clowns. Probably, but the health was bad too because of like the conditions.
Late 1700s, fucking early 1800s. You know, rich people were drama queens, man.
Yeah,
the young rich people were drama.
So if you're coming at it from that point of view, but I was okay. Well, the thing about it was that Francis Ford Coppola was initially supposed to direct this one too. But then I guess he was like, fuck it, I don't really feel like it. Because he was more into Dracula. Yeah. Like, Dracula was his passion project. He wanted to do a Frankenstein, but then he's like, I don't know if I'm as passionate about Frankenstein as I am about Dracula. He didn't really have a vision for it. So they decided to go with Kenneth Branagh. Now, Kenneth Branagh, who at this point, like, this was 1994, he's generally known for being in Shakespeare adaptations, which most of which are very good, like Henry V, and he did, like, a whole bunch of them. And he had also been, do you guys remember that movie Dead Again? I think he did it with his wife at the time, Emma Thompson. And I remember that being good, other than the end being ridiculous, but I haven't seen it in a long time. That's another one I kind of have to rewatch, because I think I saw that in the theater, too. But so he was, like, a very, very well respected Shakespearean style actor and director. So they gave him this, and I feel like, you know, well, it might have been okay if he was just like directing it, but the fact that he was the star of it too, I think it was just too much for him to resist. You know what I'm saying? Like running around with no shirt all the time.
I liked the movie.
I did too. I'm just saying that you have to go into it like expecting that it's going to be like super over the top.
Yeah, I think he called it in terms of tone. But I also agree that had it been a little more visually distorted, kind of like the original Dracula was, or stylistically and everything, you'd know that we're not talking about the real universe. We're talking about a fanciful universe written by basically a teenage girl back in a long time ago.
Although I will say, of all the classic monster, like, original novels,
it's a good one.
I think Frankenstein is probably the best written.
Yeah.
Although you could make a case for Jekyll and Hyde, although that's a novella. It's, like, pretty short. But I think Frankenstein is the best written one.
She thought about it.
In my opinion.
She thought about it. You know what I mean? What would happen if you created this person? It would consider you its father, wouldn't it? And then people would reject it. And then what would it feel? And, you know, so she.
I mean, she essentially
even with you?
Invented science fiction.
Right. It's good. Yeah. How would you get the electricity? This and that. See, in the old original movie, you know, he fucking sends him up through the roof and a lightning bolt hits him. But in this, no, it's done with electric eels.
Which, totally fair. I liked that kind of, like, variation. Yeah. It was a little bit weird, like, that he had this massive, like, bag of electric eels just, like, up on his roof all the time.
And then he was stealing amniotic fluid from women when their water broke and getting all kinds of, you know, so it's biotech, man. Fucking biotech.
Yeah.
And it was also mixed with, like, magic and alchemy. Some of that was involved. It was technology. But Dr. Frankenstein was studying, like, old, you know, arcane lore and stuff from alchemists. So it was a mixture of everything.
Yeah, so it's like when he went to the university in Ingolstadt, he kind of wanted to be like, hey, these, like, hundreds of years old books, like, you know, Paracelsus and everything like that. He's like, can't we do this, that, and the other? He wanted to go, like, a more philosophical or, like you said, alchemical route with it, whereas his you know, instructors and stuff are like, man, we don't do that shit anymore. It's like, we do our own stupid shit, but it's like, we don't do that stupid shit anymore. You know what I mean?
But Mary
on the leeches.
Mary called it, though. It was, you know, it was bioelectrical and chemical and biochemical and it had, you know, genes were involved. But she didn't know anything about genes or DNA back then. But
even Darwin didn't know
about that. Amniotic fluid. Put a motherfucker in a damn kettle, pressurizing. It was pressurized, like it was.
Yeah, he put him like in a crock pot,
like a big crock pot, and then it had electric eels come in. You know what I mean? And parts of them are grounded, and there's a fucking positive and negative, and then the eels fucking come in and shock the shit out of him, and it wakes him up, and there he goes.
He's like, wow, I was sleeping
because he was in a womb. He was in a fake womb.
Yeah, that's essentially what that was. I mean, it looked kind of like a sarcophagus. Yeah, it was like a big sarcophagus. It was a sarcophagus slash Instant Pot.
To me, what it looked like, and then it had a big respirator on the top, fucking breathing oxygen into him. So if you ask me, he made a mechanical womb and then shot.
Yeah, him. I guess that's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But so, fun fact, though, I don't know if a lot of people
who haven't... A womb big enough to give birth to an adult. So I guess that was the lungs above it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess that's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
How cool would it be if somebody did like a purely... I'm sure somebody's probably done this somewhere, but like a purely bio-organic kind of like Frankenstein where they actually like built like a big giant... Like a David Cronenbergian kind of like fucking fleshy womb.
I think it's amazing that just some rich teenage girl in the 1700s could fucking just kind of dream up of... How would you bring something alive artificially?
The thing about it, though, is that in the novel, that's just what I was going to say, is that you know how, like, most of the movie adaptations have lightning, right? So everybody kind of assumes that that's what happened in the book. In the book, she doesn't really specify, like, how... He gets brought to life. It's kind of like she kind of implies
that it was lightning.
She doesn't imply that it was lightning. She implies that there's alchemical stuff. She just says something about like dark processes and things like that. So she just leaves it real vague.
Okay. So the movie actually is filling in the gaps of what she said.
Yeah. I mean, about it is that I think why so many movie adaptations, you know, immediately go to lightning. One, because it makes sense, and two, because one of the things that gave Mary Shelley the idea for the book in the first place was galvanism.
Yeah, shocking the dead.
Like shocking the dead frogs and stuff like that. That was one of the things. So I don't think she put that in the book exactly.
Right.
But it was either implied or... So I think that that's kind of why like a lot of people picked up on the lightning. But this is the first one that I've seen that doesn't have actual lightning.
They were doing that, that was a cultural sensation. Everybody would have known that you could shock these frogs and these dead bodies and they'd move. They had a guy in Italy that was put on whole shows.
That's where she got the idea from, they were all talking about
it. So I would think that if you read this book when it was new, you would know what it was she was talking about.
Yeah. And in this movie, they make reference to it too, because he's kind of like doing the frog and all this other kind of stuff. But so this hues like pretty close. Like I said, they have the whole like framing story of the Arctic where, you know, they find Dr. Frankenstein. He's like, I'm up here chasing the monster. The monster kills all the dogs, which again makes him a little less sympathetic, but okay. And so then he's like, hey, I got to tell you this like crazy fucking story. Listen to this shit. The captain's played by Aidan Quinn, by the way. He's only in this for probably
the Duke Amadeus is in it.
Yeah, well, I had forgotten. Tom Hulse plays Henry Chervall, who is, you know, Dr. Frankenstein's friend, like at university.
Yeah.
And
he's in the same costume and everything.
I was calling him Amadeus. The whole time. I was like, look, he's best friends with Amadeus. Wolfie.
Yeah.
There he is. But yeah, he's actually really good in this. And even though he's an American actor, and like most of the other ones are Brits, it's like he doesn't, like, he doesn't really stand out. Like, I don't think he's not necessarily like trying to do a British accent. He kind of is, but it's not like real jarring. You know what I mean?
It seems natural to me.
Yeah, it just seems like his natural voice. It's not super weird. It doesn't stick out, like I said, like Winona
Ryder. It sounded
like
it was transatlantic more than anything.
That's kind of what I was thinking. That's probably like he went with.
Yeah, I think it was an American accent, an archaic American accent.
I like that he provided a lot of like comic relief. Like not super zany, but I like that he just kind of was very sardonic and like kind of like said funny shit. Yeah, and Helena Bonham Carter plays... This is star-studded, you guys. I'd forgotten. Helena Bonham Carter plays Elizabeth, you know, Frankenstein's sister slash love interest. She's not his real sister.
Yeah.
She's essentially an orphan.
Yeah.
Because her parents died of scarlet fever. And like I said, I think that happened in the book, too. I don't know if they were, like, a distant relative or something, but it wasn't that weird. Like, it didn't strike me as that weird, like, in the... book, like they didn't see it as weird, so you know.
Frankenstein's dad is Ash the robot.
Ian Holm. I was gonna say he's in this too.
Great, isn't it?
Yeah, he's also great. John Cleese is in it.
Yeah,
with some fake teeth.
Yeah, and he plays a serious role. He's not being funny.
He's great though.
He's good in it.
I really like him. And honestly, I think he should have been in a little bit more because he was really good in it, but he's basically like...
one of Frankenstein's professors.
Yeah, he's like one of his mentors. He's like the one that is at the school, and he's like, ooh, I dabbled in some of this shit, and you shouldn't do it.
He created a life form and destroyed it, but he wouldn't talk much about it, said it was horrible.
Yeah, and so, he's like, so you should totally not do it. And Frankenstein's like, oh, I'll
gotta do it.
I gotta do it.
So he did like, yeah, so Frankenstein's fucking buddy... It's not his professor. It's one of the professors.
Yeah, at the university.
Who was listening to Frankenstein's comments. He's going, oh, he knows what he's talking about. He wants to bring back the dead. I did that. That's what he's thinking.
He's like, bitch, I've been
there. And then he got him in on the secret. He's like, yeah, he had a whole handbook and everything, things that he did that worked. And so Frankenstein actually didn't come up with it all on his own. His buddy did it before him. So
yeah.
So it's not like Frankenstein did it on his own. It's just that evidently Frankenstein approved on the process. Isn't that right?
He said basically
he thought
what
that guy made some mistakes.
Yeah, he said he was so close because that guy, like John Cleese, ends up getting killed.
Yeah,
like not too long after ends up getting stabbed, and so he dies, and so Frankenstein is like, woohoo, I'm just gonna go in there and like steal all this shit.
That's right. He created a living thing, but in the notes it says it didn't work. It was non-functional.
Like it was all fucked up.
It was all fucked up. It had birth defects, and it did. And it, what do you say? What was the word he used? Non-functional. And nobody said it was non-functional.
Something like that. Or he said, I can't remember like the word he used exactly. Monstrous or something. I don't know if it was
one
just
one of the words.
Yeah. But he said it like it didn't really work out, and then he was just like, bro, what the fuck am I even doing? Yeah. And then like he's like, let's not do that again.
Right.
I mean, probably he should have destroyed the notes if he was that, like, you know, if he felt that strongly about it. But because as soon as he dies, because he, like, dies in the next scene, like, he gets stabbed, and then Frankenstein's like, woohoo, and so he just pilfers his fucking notes. And so, like, he goes through the shit, and then he's like, oh, he was so close, like, he was just one. I don't think that John Cleese had hit on the amniotic fluid thing. So that was his kind of improvement. So he's like, woo, this is going to work.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it does work, but not quite. Now, I don't think this might be a change from the book, too. Because I think in the book, Frankenstein just, like, dug up, you know, whatever, like, murderers they hung that day. Which does happen in this, because he actually takes the body, well, most of the body, of the dude that stabbed John Cleese... but he pops John Cleese's brain into it.
Yeah.
Now, does that happen in the book?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
It wasn't a criminal mind in it. It's a normal brain.
It's a
smart guy brain, yeah.
And then, like, I think he took a couple other pieces. Like, he took a leg here and there. Because everybody, there's a cholera epidemic, like, going on during this. Which, like I said, that was from the book, too. So I like that they kind of added that in. But I don't remember if he actually, like, took that professor's brain and like popped it into like a criminal's body. Essentially, they do kind of go into,
he popped it into the body of the guy who killed him.
Yeah. And I'd be like, if I woke up as like, if somebody murdered me and you put my brain into like the murderer's body, I'd be like, dude, that's fucked up. What are you even doing? Why would you do that?
He didn't mean to kill him, but he stabbed him.
Yeah. So
fight over a damn polio vaccine. What's it? Cholera vaccine.
It was cholera.
Yeah, he didn't want to take it.
Yeah. So then he's like, I'm just going to stab the doctor and then I'll die.
Well,
not of cholera, but I'll just get hanged instead.
Yeah, they hung him
better,
instead. Yeah.
I guess. Good job. Yeah. But he was panicked. I guess so.
He was panicked.
I was like, yeah.
He only had one leg anyway. They had to give him another leg.
That's right. That's why he had to go cut off. He's like, hey, where's the cholera? Where's all the dead bodies from cholera? Yeah. Ooh, this looks like a nice leg. Yeah. I'll just be taking this one home. Bye. But you know what I mean? It's like, kind of, yeah. But I don't think that's from the book, but that kind of works out though, because I guess it kind of just keeps it less random. Now let's talk about too, here's another kind of big change from the book. In the book, and please correct me because like I said, it's been a while since I've read it. In the book, the monster comes back to him and basically says, I'm gonna fuck up all your shit, like I'm gonna kill all your family unless you make me a bride. Because you know, at this point the monster is, he's all like fucked up looking and he's been like, you know, attacked. Everybody thinks he's like scary and everything like that. So he's like, well, I need one person that's like me, you know, and we can go off together and we won't bother anybody ever again. So the doctor says, okay, yeah, I'll do that. But in the book, I don't think he either never makes her Or he makes her, and then before he wakes her up, he's like, what the fuck am I doing? And destroys her. You know what I mean? I think that's what happens in the book. I don't think he ever makes her and she wakes up and everything like that. What they did in the movie, though, and it's like, I kind of think this was an okay decision. I mean, I guess, if you're going to go this way. Because it did, like, raise the stakes some. Because I don't remember who he got, like, to reanimate for the bride in the book. But like I said, I don't think he ever reanimated her in the book. What he does with this one is that he's like, okay, well, I'll make you a bride. And the creature brings him Justine, who is the girl that he had framed for killing his little brother, William. He's like 5 or 6 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it's going to seem very convoluted if you haven't seen this movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, the story of Frankenstein is so...
It's kind of... Everybody kind of knows it. Knows each other, and they kill each other, and then they end up inside the damn same monster with somebody else. Like Frankenstein's body was the dude who killed a brilliant scientist that was used to go inside that fucking body. And that guy also made another Frankenstein before that Frankenstein.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of...
It's like a Russian nesting doll.
It's kind of like Reanimator.
Well, yeah, I mean, Reanimator.
The same kind of thing was happening. Your girlfriend dies, so we had to reanimate her and put her in this one, and this one comes, and then another reanimated guy tries to have sex with the new reanimated girlfriend. And the Reanimator series is crazy like that, too.
I mean, there's a reason why this story is like resonated for so long. But so what they did, so the monster brings him the body of Justine, because Justine, who was their, it was their housekeeper's daughter, and like a friend of the family. Yeah. She was like a friend of the family. And the monster kills William, who is Frankenstein's little brother, who's like many, many years younger.
He's about 6.
Yeah, he's like 6 years old. So the monster kills him. Justine is out looking for the kid because they don't know he's dead yet. They're like looking for where he went to. And then she falls asleep in a barn for some reason. And the monster comes.
She stayed out late.
Yeah.
She said she was tired.
The monster comes and essentially like leaves a locket that the little boy had and leaves it on her, so like frames her for the little boy's murder. So then they take Justine into custody. A big mob comes, pulls her out the jail, and like takes her up on the roof, puts a rope around, and just like fucking throws her off the roof, man. It's like a pretty horrifying...
She falls like 4 stories before the fucking rope gets tight. Normally it would have pulled her head off.
But I would think
they used to do that.
In real life, it probably would pull her head off. Can I just say there was a great moment? I can't remember the name of the woman that plays Justine because she's not like a. Yeah. I mean, she's in it, but it's not like a huge character. But the moment that they put that rope around her neck and she realizes what's about to happen, what a great moment of acting that was! She looked fucking terrified.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, okay, that was good. Like, that whole reaction that she had was, like, so fucking great.
The lynch mob got her.
Yeah, it was, like, horrible.
And that was how the creature was getting revenge for what had been done to him. Because basically a lynch mob was after him, too.
Yeah, so, because, like, he comes into town, like, looking for bread or something. They're like, hey, what the fuck? Why are you stealing bread? And then his hood comes off, and they see his all fucked up looking face. And they said, oh, you're the guy that's causing all the cholera.
Yeah.
Because that's, of course, what they would think.
Another great touch is that Justine was hiding in the courthouse. And the lawyers were going like, no, this is illegal. The lynch mob took him anyway.
Took her anyway.
So they tried to fucking protect her, but it wasn't any good.
Yeah,
there was like 1,000 people.
I mean, that was a scary. I thought that was like a pretty scary, like an effective scene.
Yeah,
that they did, because I was like, whoa, okay, that's fucked up.
Visually, all the sets and everything, they look pretty authentic. The costumes are real good. They look period. The movie looks a lot better than I remembered it. It looks good, like on par with like Amadeus or something.
Yeah, but so the monster brings Justine's body. And Frankenstein is like, no. He's like, I'm not. Yeah. And the monster is like, yeah, but you just said, like, all these bodies are just, what do they call them? Raw materials.
Yeah,
he's like, so it shouldn't matter, like, that you knew this girl. And he's just like, man, I'm not doing it. And he's like, you better do it, or I'm going to, like, fuck up all your family. He's like, no, I'm not going to do it. So
you're
he goes.
See me on your wedding night.
Yeah, so he, and that's from the book. That's actually right from the book, that quote that he says. So he's like, yeah, well, if you don't do it, then I'll be with you on your wedding night. Like, if you won't give me a wedding night, I'll be with you on yours or something like that. So that's, like, right from the book. And Frankenstein, who's kind of like a dumbass, he doesn't understand, I don't think, the implications of that. He just thinks that the monster wants to kill him, even though he's already killed his brother.
Well, no, he says, so if you're going to kill me, you know, you're going to kill me. And he goes, the creature says, killing you is the easy way out. You know, basically, he's like that. He goes, he says, that would be easy on you.
Yeah.
Killing you. Because he's going to make it worse than that, which he's threatening everybody knows.
Yeah, which he does in the book also.
He's
already killed the kid. He frames Justine, who also gets killed. And then, Frankenstein's like, no, I'm not going to, make you a bride. So, of course, he gets mad. And he goes in there and straight up, he marries Elizabeth. They haven't even, had sex yet. They haven't even consummated the marriage. It's, the wedding night. And they're just like, woohoo, finally, after all, because they've known each other since they were kids. But then, somebody's like, oh, we saw the monster outside. So he's like, hold that thought. I'll be right back. And then the monster ends up in the room and straight up pulls her fucking heart right out of her chest.
Yeah.
Pop!
Yeah, he's strong. He's real strong.
Pop! Just pulls it right out.
Yeah.
And then,
need a blade.
Not only that, but it's as if that wasn't undignified enough. Yeah. He then, just knocks her body off the bed, and it falls into a lamp, and, her head catches on fire.
Yeah, it burns all her hair off.
And it burns all of her hair off.
And big patches and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, Frankenstein, and this did not happen in the book, Frankenstein says, oh, well, I can bring her back to life. And I'm just like, bro, have you not learned anything through this whole entire
thing? Didn't you watch Reanimated?
Didn't you watch Frankenhooker?
Yeah.
This is the same thing that happened in Frankenhooker, okay? Yeah, so he's like, well, I want to keep her head, but her body's kind of fucked up because she doesn't have a heart. So he's like, oh, well, coincidentally, conveniently, Justine's body's still laying here. So I'll just pop Elizabeth's head off and put it onto Justine's body.
Yeah. So he just kind of mashed them together.
And then he brings her back and she's not super happy about it.
No, and then the creature sees her and he goes, that's mine! That's mine! She's mine! And then they get into the fucking tug of war.
They're I totally thought her arms were going to pull off like Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, the bride's trying to choose which one she wants to go with, and she actually chose the creature. But then at the end, Dr. Victor fucking gets her to look at him, and then she fucking glitches out and grabs a damn oil lamp.
Well, she looks at the creature's face, and then she's like, oh shit, that's what my face looks like too. Because her face, she looks really fucked up.
Because by the time this was all happening, the creature was looking better than he did. The stitches and shit fucking got pulled out. He was healing up. So
that was a nice touch. I liked that.
Yeah. He started to look just like, Robert De Niro. Really, with a scar on his face. So, he wasn't ugly, really. He was fucking intimidating looking, spooky looking, but I wouldn't say he was ugly. Not, as bad as
once
fucking,
it started to
once
heal
it started
up.
To heal up. Yeah. And then she glitched out and fucking grabbed a oil lamp and held it over her head, crushed it, and all the fucking burning oil went. And she fucking, it was a great stunt. It was not CG. It was a woman in what looked like a bridal gown running at full speed through the fucking hallways, setting the damn internals of the castle on fire. And she jumps out the window. She died, but it was a good stunt. It was a whoever that was fully on fire. It looked real.
Yeah,
it looked like a woman's build.
Well, yeah, they got women stuntmen that do fire stunts. So,
yeah.
I mean, or it was it could have been a dude. I'm not really sure, but I wasn't really looking.
It
that
looked
close.
Like fucking Helen Carter running on fire.
I think how they did the close up.
Yeah.
Of when she first broke the lamp. I think that was, the head and stuff like that, I think was a dummy, but then they superimposed her face over it somehow, because they did have some digital effects in the 90s.
Good,
they just weren't really all that great.
Yeah.
Well, but
the running part where she was running on fire through the hallways, it
looked
real.
That was just somebody, an actual stunt person.
Yeah, but it looked like a, body-wise, that looked like her in a wedding gown. She jumped off the fucking top of the staircase. She fell probably about 2 or 3 stories, huh?
That
open. There are big open spaces inside the houses. The living room and the entryway was like an aircraft hangar in there. The fucking house was big.
Victor, the whole thing was that he's like, well, I don't want to make Justine into a monster because I know her. But then, as soon as his wife dies, he's like, oh, okay, never mind. I'll just, pop this girlfriend's head and I'll just, I'm gonna, He's just fully, like, lost his fucking mind at this point.
So Victor Frankenstein loses everything, man. He loses his fucking family, loses his house, fucking everything burnt down to the ground. So he starts fucking chasing Frankenstein to the fucking...
Because his dad dies in there, too.
Yeah, his dad
I don't died. Think the monster... I don't know if the monster killed him or if he just died of...
Yeah,
that wasn't real clear.
Didn't see any marks on him.
It looked like he just died.
And, like, maybe died of a heart attack from seeing him.
Yeah.
And seeing the creature. But he chases the creature up to the North Pole. That's when they run to the dam. They run into the dam expedition that's up there. It's pretty cool because... The guy, the captain of the ship that's hearing this whole story, when he does finally see the creature, he's kind of got respect for the creature. At one time towards the end, after Victor Frankenstein dies, he asks the creature to join the crew.
Yeah, he's like, come with us.
And he's down in the water and he's holding the damn torch and he's going, no, I'm through with man.
Yeah, he's like, fuck this
and
shit.
And then he goes out to a damn iceberg.
Can't
Where he's got Victor Frankenstein's body on a damn pyre ready to go, and he sets him and Victor Frankenstein on fire and sets himself on fire. He's out there on an iceberg burning.
I think that's how the book ends, too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's like
the book.
Yeah, so
he gives his own life. He says, fuck it. He takes his own life. He's like, I'm done with this shit.
Well, like
I said, he goes down like a G, all proud, fucking standing there while he's burning up.
He's like, I didn't ask to be here.
Yeah.
I know I, like, fucked some shit up. And
kind of like a Viking funeral.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like a Viking funeral.
Viking
funeral and what happened to fucking Darth Vader at the end of Empire Strikes Back or fucking, yeah, or Return of the Jedi.
Well, that's the thing is, like, Frankenstein is such an iconic novel that even things that aren't related to Frankenstein have used, like, things from that, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's just, like, penetrated the cultural so much. But like I said, I'm going to have to see Frankenstein Unbound because I heard that one was, like, kind of similar to the book, too. Although I heard that the movie wasn't very good. But...
I liked Dracula Untold.
I did, too. Yeah, I liked those. I don't know if it's the same director.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I have to look it up. But yeah, I mean, if you want to see there's some changes, obviously, that we've kind of got into, but... This is probably the most accurate to the book of any Frankenstein movie I've seen. I'm sure there are some that I haven't seen that are maybe more accurate. I heard there was another one that was like made for TV that was actually pretty good and pretty accurate to the book. I forgot to mention that actually not the first draft of the script that was written by somebody named Steph Lady, but the second version of the script was actually written for this movie was actually written by Frank Darabont. And he did not like this movie at all. He was like, well, he said, the quote was something like, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says something like, I think it was the best script I ever wrote and the worst movie that I ever saw, like, based on a script that I ever wrote. Well, he's like, because he's like, how I had it on the page, he's like, I tried to make it as close to the book as possible. And he's like, the book is actually pretty subtle. He's like, so everything that you see, like, this wildly, like, over-the-top kind of, like, operatic type of stuff, he's like, that's not in the book, and that wasn't in my script. He's like, that was Kenneth Branagh's thing.
It's not over-the-top by today's standards.
I think it's more over-the-top by today's standards.
I don't know. I didn't really find it all that unusual. I thought the tone was about kind of like the old, kind of like Bram Stoker's Dracula with it's about like that. There wasn't a big difference.
I'd have to watch them both back to back.
I thought it was enjoyable.
I did too. I didn't say that.
Yeah,
I just said that I had forgot that it was like more over the top than I remember.
Well, it was trying to be very theatrical and classical.
Yeah.
And big. Everything's big, you know. But and it worked, I think. Had the sets been a little more stylized. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, because I think the Dracula one was more. That worked because, like I said, it looked more theatrical because it was more, stylized. It didn't look realistic.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be very realistic. This one, it looks realistic. It looks pretty realistic.
But
the acting is stagey. Right.
Yeah. Until De Niro gets in there.
Right.
I mean, because he's very...
I think they were trying to say that he's the only real person.
Yeah, like
the
he's
meaning of the fucking,
restrained.
The meaning of the story... is fuck y'all, y'all suck, and y'all don't know what's cool. Fucking the creature knew what was cool. That, there was some philosophy involved.
Well, the whole point of the story was that you shouldn't step on God's dick.
Don't step on God's dick. don't judge things. Don't judge people for how they look.
That too.
That's another one. Y'all are a bunch of superficial motherfuckers, out of control. Lynch mobs killing people right in front of the damn court systems that you ignore. You know, just stuff like that. You know, y'all are the monsters, not me.
The monster did monstrous things too, but I think that Mary Shelley was kind of like trying to say
that was like
your child. He was like your creation. You brought him into this world. Like, he didn't ask to be here.
Yeah.
And you didn't teach him anything. You brought him here and then you abandoned him.
Yeah, right.
I think in the book, it was more clear that he abandoned the monster. Like, fuck that didn't work, bye. Yeah. It was kind of like that. Whereas in the movie, he thought that the monster had died of cholera. Or he assumed that the monster had died of cholera. And like a dumbass, he didn't check.
Yeah.
Probably should have checked on that. But he didn't.
The monster was left on his own and was trying to survive out in the wild and was trying to make friends and... It sometimes would make friends. Only the blind man wanted to be his friend, and even though the blind man knew his face was fucked up, and just in a split second, some people chased him off, hitting him with a stick, you know, because they thought he was attacking the old man.
Yeah,
it's just, you know,
he killed their landlord for him.
He killed the landlord
and brought in all of their crops.
Yep, and did a bunch of work for him.
Yeah,
the landlord was beating people and fucking throwing the kid around and shit.
Yeah, I mean, no one was sad to see the landlord.
Yeah, the landlord was a dick, you know.
So he kind of had it coming.
So, but Frankenstein was like the Frankenstein monster, the creature was a good-hearted creature, and he was intelligent, and people kept fucking him over, and that turned him, frustrated him, and says, well, it was kind of like eye for an eye. Well, if you're going to fuck me over, I'm going to fuck you over. You
know? And if no one will react to me with love and compassion,
right,
then I'm just going to, like, fucking rage out. Which, like I said, that's a very universal...
Yeah, it's like in the human theme, you know.
And the thing about it is that even though he did monstrous things, Victor was the real monster because he didn't take responsibility. For one, he's for stepping on God's dick and like going all like hubris and everything.
Yeah.
But also, like, so he just like unleashed it on the world. It was like, well, I washed my hands of that. That's, you know what I mean?
The creature considered him his father. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So he didn't raise it.
Yeah.
So it's a morality tale, you know? It is drama. You know, you can tell a teenage girl wrote it, but a very intelligent teenage girl, and it makes sense. And it's the story. Holds up. It's in that old fashioned found footage motif, you know what I mean, style, which I hate reading. I hate reading that shit.
Although the Frankenstein one isn't really that bad because pretty much there's just like the beginning and the end.
Yeah,
you know, with that, but and then the rest of it reads pretty regular.
Didn't do with the regular Dracula.
What Dracula? Dracula was entirely like that. Was like all journal entries and stuff.
And, you know, I think she wrote this on a basically kind of like a challenge, I think.
Like a dare,
It was like a dare type of deal. They were saying they had to come up with some kind of a ghost story for, was it Christmas?
There was a deadline. We did a show about it.
Yeah.
It was her and Lord Byron and Percy Shelley and John Polidori.
They were a throuple.
They were all kind of like... Well, they were all into, like, kind of the Enlightenment, kind of like free love and all that kind of stuff. But they were all trapped in their villa, like, on one summer because it was the year without a summer. It was just, like, 2 weeks of torrential rains, and they couldn't leave. They couldn't do stuff outside. So they kind of, like, were trapped inside reading ghost stories to one another.
If you guys don't know what that is it was a volcano went off.
Yeah.
And it...
1816.
Blackened the skies, and it fucked up, like, a couple of years' worth of weather. I think it was really one... harvest season, I think it was one or two.
I mean, 1816 that summer was the worst one. Like, they had like crazy fucking weather.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the crops didn't
fail.
Yeah, a lot of the crops failed because it never got warm enough, like in certain parts of the world and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. Did they know what it was? I don't think Mary Shelley and
at the time. I don't think so. I think maybe like a little bit later, but I could be wrong about that.
Yeah.
But
the sky was red for several days, I think, right after that, wasn't it? Like, the sky was red for, like, a week, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Then the weather went crazy.
It was a big deal. It was a big explosion.
If it were to happen today, people would think that it was the end of the world. And back then, they were just like, well, that's some weird.
That's some weird shit.
Yeah, they didn't even know what it was.
This weather is quite
strange
annoying.
Weather. Yeah.
Guess we got to stay in here and write some of the most classic things ever. Well, and the other thing, too, is that, and I think we brought this up on the show where we talked about Mary Shelley and that, John Polidori was there, too, and he actually wrote The Penny Dreadful, The Vampire, with a Y, which is maybe one of the inspirations for Dracula.
Okay.
Although they think that maybe he ripped the idea off from Lord Byron, because Lord Byron wrote something about a vampire too. But yeah, so this was like way before Dracula came out, because Dracula was like toward the end of the 19th century. Yeah. Frankenstein came out in 1818.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's much, much older. So there's that. And like I said, Mary Shelley kind of like invented science fiction pretty much.
Basically.
Basically, yeah. So because this was kind of the first story that had been like that, or at least like the first one that was like a big sensation. But yeah, so this movie is actually on HBO Max. If you haven't seen it, you know, give it a watch and see, because I hadn't seen it like probably since I'd seen it in the theater. Like I said, it was a lot more over the top than I remember, but it's still like really enjoyable. And it's still pretty accurate to the book. They did change some things around, but it follows the beats of the novel like pretty closely, which is pretty admirable. And it's really kind of like all-star. I love the makeup they did on De Niro. I really liked De Niro's thing, the set design, the costumes. The score is nice too. I really like that a lot. But yeah, I mean, it's totally worth watching. And I think now, remember when we did the movie that had Michelle Pfeiffer and Jack Nicholson in it that was called Wolf?
Yeah.
I don't remember if that was the Wolfman installment of this cycle, mm-hmm. or if the Wolfman with Benicio del Toro was.
I don't know.
And I really want to watch that again, too, because I remember seeing that in the theater also. And like, well, I like Benicio del Toro in anything, but I remember that being pretty good, but I don't really remember anything about it. But then I was just kind of like, well, wait, I don't remember like what cycle that was part of, because they've tried to like do all of these like Universal Monster reboots like multiple times. Why don't they do Creature from the Black Lagoon though? I don't know. I really like that one. But anyway, yeah, so this is on HBO Max. Check it out if you've seen it, or if you haven't seen it in a long time, let us know what you think about it in the comments. And that'll do it for this movie retrospective. We'll see you guys on the next one. Bye.